Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to where would we think we'd be? Psalm 89. Amen. Okay. We will finish this before the rapture, I promise you. Well, that's right. I can't promise that because I don't know the day and the hour. No man knoweth. Okay. So, Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. This is the 12th message, and as I look at my notes, I think there'll only be two more after this, unless God changes something. But again, we looked at the different messages with this, and what it is what people who want to be blessed know. And this is message number 12. We've looked at the fact that they know the joyful sound. We spend time on that. They know where to walk in the light of God's countenance and newness of life after the Spirit, to walk honestly, to walk by faith and not by sight. They know to walk in the Spirit, to walk worthy, to walk in love, to walk as children of light, to walk circumspectly. They know to walk in Him and to walk in wisdom. And last time, 2 weeks ago, it was they know how to walk pleasing to God. And then 2 weeks ago it was they know what to rejoice in. Amen? We looked at know what to rejoice in. And tonight, they know they are exalted by God's righteousness. And I'm not preaching a Christmas message. But if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 9, you'll see how this fits together later on, okay? In verse 6. It's part of Handel's Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I say I wanted to read that passage to you because everything will point to Him. The whole Bible is about Him. Okay? If you want to be exalted, again, as we go back to that opening text, in verse 16 of Psalm 89, it says, in thy name they shall rejoice in that day and in His righteousness. Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Okay, I looked up the definition. You know, we don't use the word exalt a lot, okay? Except you find it in the Bible multitude of times. I was going to give you the number, decided not to tonight. The number of times a form of the word exalt appears. But I want you to know this. The first definition of exalt is this. To raise high, to elevate. And the minute I read that and thinking of Isaiah 9:6, you know what I thought of? If I be lifted up from the earth, which is a reference to what? The crucifixion. I will draw all men unto me. Okay? That's from John 12 and verse 32. With that, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll look at some verses quickly. We'll see if I can bring this together for you. Isaiah chapter 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordered praise. No, she's not, stay. That don't bother me. Okay. Isaiah 2. Okay. Look at verse 10 and 11. Again, this is primarily written to to the Jews, but it's talking about Christ's kingdom, and it says, enter into the rock and hide thee from in the dust for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord, what? Alone shall be exalted in that day. That's what Isaiah 9:6 is talking about. We've already heard someone give a testimony. They came back to the Lord. They're dealing with it in one of the missionary letters because they know that Christ's return is imminent. Well, it's been imminent for people for 2,000 years, right? I want it tomorrow. I want it tonight. Okay? We don't know when that is. But when it is, we are premillennial. We are pre-tribulation. Amen? I'm listening, and we pray all the time for people that, Lord, please, they want to be together. Let them, Father, go up with the voice of the archangel, the sound of the trump, and the shout of God, because that's what Judy and I pray for. But we say, but if not, whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen? We belong to him. So he's the one who's going to be exalted. Now jump to chapter 5 of Isaiah. Starting at verse 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. So when they want to exalt themselves, what is the result of that? Hell. The sin of pride condemns more people to hell than any other sin. It's the sin that destroyed the anointed cherubim that covereth. Five I wills. And the last one said, I will be like the Most High. So I want you to understand with this, okay? And it goes on, it says, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be what? Humbled. Remember that, believer, because we live in a day and age where everybody wants to put themselves forward. That's why you see the shootings that they're talking about, Brown University and other places, even in America, just recently. The mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be what? But the Lord of hosts, that's a direct reference to Jesus Christ. You can prove it, that he is the Lord of hosts. Study it out. Shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in what? Now, what did it say we will be exalted by? His righteousness. His righteousness. You still with me? Okay. Go to Isaiah 52. I'm giving you Old Testament prophecies talking about our Savior. Isaiah 52. We're going to read verses 9 and 10 and then jump down to verse 13. Don't need to talk about the things in between for the sake of time, but Isaiah chapter 52, verse 9, it says, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he shall redeem Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Who is the arm of the Lord? Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Jump to verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And many were astonied at thee. See, he's been what? He's been exalted, extolled, and very high. And what is it saying now? His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The beating, the scourging, the crown of thorns. His visage was his face. They couldn't tell who he was because Jesus prophesied, okay? And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You're going to know why that's important later on when we look at about a verse when we get his righteousness. It was a direct reference back to Psalm 22 and the crucifixion. Many were astonished. They couldn't even look at him, turned to stone, because his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. And it takes us right into, and who hath believed our report, and to whom is the what? Arm of the Lord revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Where did he lay it? On him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. No self-justification. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, remember, his righteousness exalts us, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He'll justify all who come to him. The only reason they're not justified is because no humility, no willingness to turn to the only one who truly should be exalted. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That's why there's room at the cross for me. Transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Do you see the way that is going? The second definition of exalt is to elevate in power, wealth, rank, or dignity. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. You're going to get a lot of scripture tonight. I'll be praying the Lord gives you discernment and helps the Holy Spirit helps you to bring them together to understand. To understand why and how we can be exalted and in whom we are exalted. Philippians chapter 2. I always like to read this because I need to remember. God resisteth the proud but giveth what? So make sure your heart is in humility. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is equal with the Father, second member of the Godhead, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, even to the fact that he was a babe in a manger, right? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly what? Exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's elevated in power, in rank, and in dignity. Think about that. Now, before his birth, his mother knew some of this. It's simply called Mary's song of thanksgiving, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I've got to read some of the context so you can understand what's taking place. So we're going to go back to, let me see here, verse 26. And in the sixth month, that was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, not a young woman. That's what some of the translations say. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and that the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That's used as part of a fake prayer because we are not to exalt anybody except God. But I got saved out of a church that taught we pray that. When you're going to find out that Mary exalted God, her Savior, because she needed one like us. And the angel came under and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. I would think so. She was bearing the child of the Most High. And the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I always like, and I tell people, put yourself back into what's taking place. It's an amazing thing. You put yourself, think about what's going on. What that's like. What that had to mean to this young woman who had never known a man. And what she's hearing. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David, of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the what? And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that is bearing. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Look at Mary's response. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She's just been told that she's going to be the human vessel of the living God. God manifest in the flesh. Can you picture that background? Now Mary arose in those days. She went to go see Elizabeth. Now jump down to verse 46. This is Mary's song, if you want to, of thanksgiving unto God. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in who? She's not the co-mediatrix. She's not co-equal. She was a special woman chosen of God, but she needed a Savior. She got saved by the one she gave physical birth to. God, my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. Now, who is his arm again? Jesus Christ. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of what? Low degree. Of low degree. Think about that. Mary is exalted. Mary got saved. Mary's exalted because of who she gave birth to. Birth to. And with those thoughts, Luke 14 and verse 11, you also find it in Matthew 23 in verse 12. It says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased." Okay? "And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Same exact verse in Matthew 23, 12. Now turn to Acts chapter 5. I don't need to preach and give you a bunch of illustrations on this. I want you to think about this. I want you to understand that by his righteousness, we are exalted. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the apostles have been imprisoned, they've been beaten, and they were released. And they were told to shut their mouths and not tell anyone about that way. And in verse 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. For the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God," what? "Exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to" who? Them that obey him. You want the Holy Ghost? Trust Jesus Christ. You don't trust Jesus Christ, you may get a spirit, but it will not be the Holy Ghost. And it might be a religious spirit, but it won't be the third member of the Godhead who ministers to us, because one of his titles in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is the Comforter. "Blessed be God, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in any tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others who are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Holy Ghost comes because of his righteousness. You still with me? Now, reason it's important to us. You will become injured or not lost eternally, but lost temporally in the battle that takes place around us in the spiritual realm, which is real. Just ask Cheryl sometimes, come in this building when no one else is here and the lights are off. Ask any man who's pastored in this church to come in. When the body of Christ leaves the building, someone else comes in here because they want to defile it. You are the church. The building is where we meet. Okay? So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're told in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are," present tense, "become," ongoing imperative, "are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself." How did he bring us back with him? "By Jesus Christ, and given unto us the ministry of" what? "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You know how you want to get rid of your sin account that condemns you to hell? Jesus takes it, so it's not imputed to you. To be imputed means it's put upon you. It's removed at the moment of salvation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though ye did beseech us." God did beseech us by us. "We pray in God's stead, be ye" what? "For he hath made him to be sin for us." Isaiah 53. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made" the what? "In him." The righteousness of God in him. You need to remember that. You can't fight it in your own strength or in your own self-righteousness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. verses are used in our addictions program. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the... It's a spiritual battle, people. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of... Where are they? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When that's not done, families come under attack. Marriages come under attack. Children come under attack. Churches come under attack. Ministries come under attack. Because you don't realize who the enemy is. And we end up having enemies of our own making. Is that a little hard on you? Oh, nuts. I didn't realize I was getting known about that. People who listen to when I have opportunity to preach. You're the on nuts preacher. I've had that said to me by another pastor. Casting down imaginations. That's where the strongholds are, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. See, it's those intruding thoughts. Those things that exalt itself against God, the knowledge of Him, and bringing into captivity what? Every what? To who? To the obedience of Christ. My Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane said, if it be possible, remove this what? Cup from me. But if not, not my will, but... See, he humbled himself even to the humility of the cross, that God will highly exalt him. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes people, I have to pray all the time for my thoughts and for forgiveness, that they be brought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all what? Disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. You can't do that when you make it about you. It has to be made about Him. When I get in trouble, I make it about me. I've been offended. I don't deserve that. I, just like Lucifer before the fall, I, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, because your battle is going to be where? The Christian life, the battle starts in your heart and in your mind. It can be actually become physically manifested. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've had to deal with it. Pastor Kenny has seen it. Have to deal with it. Physical manifestation of unclean spirits in the attack on people. You need to know how to fight the spiritual battle, because God is choosing you to be an ambassador for Him. Last passage, and I'll let you go home. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I could start at the beginning. There's an admonition to pastors at the beginning of chapter 5 to feed the flock, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for money, filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as being examples. Examples, that means internal coming outward. Internal showing external. Examples unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's a crown that shepherds can earn. It's for those in the pastorate. It's one of the five crowns. And then it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Why? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, exaltation, by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And what do people who want to be blessed know? They need to know, not by the works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, by the washing, regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble, and he will lift up the fallen. All God's people said, good night and God bless.